Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in and listening audience, for we know that the only reason that you have tuned into our broadcast is because of your great fear and love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer and savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. And Yahweh is the one that ordained us to bring you his words, the words of truth, to teach you the words of Yah and the truth that he has given. And that's what we will do. And today, we're going to deal with something that could be controversial, that could be a little bit unnerving for some of your family members. So what I urge you to do is to contact your ministers, your friends, your family, that believe that the New Testament is where salvation is taught. Because even though that knowledge has increased and there has been great revelation amongst the word of Yah and amongst his people, don't get it mistaken and think that everyone now knows the truth. No, everyone does not know the truth. As a matter of fact, most people are still ignorant to the very truth of the word of Yah. But I would like to show the people tonight from the perspective of things that we have been teaching here at the House of Israel. At the House of Israel, Cincinnati, we've been teaching a lot about Yah's order, about time, about judgment. And all these things are very important. And all of these things prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh is perfect and that his words are the truth. And therefore, I wanted to show you how you can tell quite easily that the New Testament has judgment, is void of order, does not teach you Yahweh's word in any form or fashion in which you would be able to learn how to number your days, to know Yah's signs, seasons, days, or years, to even know when Yah is returning. Now, one of the questions in our upcoming conference that is happening later this week, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, will be beginning on the fifth day of this week. And on the fifth day of this week, we will be in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, which we will begin teaching the revelations of the Most High. And one of the questions is, how do you know, or what are the signs that prove that Yahweh is returning to his people? Now, how would we be able to show you that if Yahweh didn't show us that? If Yahweh didn't have in his book clear signs to let us know when he's returning? But can the New Testament tell you when the Christ of the New Testament is returning, or tell you when G-O-D is returning? No, as a matter of fact, the New Testament lets you know that no man knoweth the hour or time when the Son of Man shall return. But Yahweh never, ever told you that nobody knows when he's coming. He told us when he's coming, and he revealed it unto us. There's no judgment in the New Testament, and therefore there is no salvation. For in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and yes, I urge you to contact the people that are on the fence or the people you've been trying to show the word of the Most High to, but they just can't let go of the New Testament. Or one of them brothers or sisters that believe that they have to follow the New Testament even though they think that they are an Israelite. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 4th verse reads, "He is a rock," talking about Yahweh. "His work is perfect," which means you can't change it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it, or you will make it imperfect. "For all of his ways," that means every single one of his ways. That means every last one of his ways. That means every one of his ways. "All of his ways are judgment. An Elohim of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he," which means Yahweh is perfect. There's no mistakes in the Creator. You'll hear people talk about one of God's mistakes. I don't know who they're talking about, but they're not talking about Yahweh. Yahweh never made a mistake. Yahweh never had a misstep. Yahweh never put something in the wrong place or created the wrong thing. Book of Ecclesiastes lets us know that Yahweh made man upright, but he, the man, sought out many inventions, many different things to make themselves imperfect. So there is no imperfections in the Creator. There are, however, many imperfections in man. And why are there many imperfections in man? Because man refuses to hearken unto the Creator. And Israel refuses to hearken unto the Creator. In the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse reads, "For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge." Yes, the children of Israel are rejecters of knowledge. We have rejected knowledge. Even though you might think that this is a time in which many of the children of Israel are waking up, and it might feel like that, because it is. But nevertheless, a lot of our people, the mass majority of our people, are still asleep, are still ignorant to the word of the Creator. And I want to show you how, if there's no judgment, there is no salvation. And what I mean by there's no judgment, I mean ways of Yah are not in the New Testament. You can't find any determinations, any conclusions, anything that will give you an expected end. You can't find order in the New Testament, and you will not find truth, because Yahweh did not speak in the New Testament. And because Yahweh didn't speak in the New Testament, there is no words of life in the New Testament, which means the law of the Most High is void in the New Testament. And look what the Creator let us know in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And many ministers may proclaim that they can show you the lies in the New Testament, and I'm sure they can, because the New Testament is not short on lies. But can you learn how to bring your people out of the darkness? You just don't want to bash the New Testament. You just don't want to bash your people. You want to teach them the right way. And look what the Creator let us know in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Start reading in the 23rd verse. It reads, I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would not scatter them, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Therefore, I gave them also statutes and judgments. Statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. You see, that's exactly what the New Testament, the book of the Quran, the book of Jasher, the book of Enoch, that's exactly what these books are. Statutes that aren't good and judgments whereby you are not able to live, because Yahweh's judgments are perfect and you can live by Yahweh's judgments, but you can't live by a book of lies judgments, because this book, it will teach you nothing but deceit in the New Testament. And who wants to go around in deceit? Well, apparently, many people do. And why is that? Because it's in the book of Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. In Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 21. And it reads, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, saith Yahweh? Will you not tremble at my presence, which has placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? Because Yahweh has judgment. Yahweh has used sand as a boundary for the sea by a perpetual decree, meaning forever, the sand will be the boundary for the sea, meaning this is where it stops. That's why the waves crash on the beach. And Yahweh did this. You're not going to fear the one that can do that, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people has a revolting and rebellious heart. They have revolted and are gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear Yahweh our Elohim, that gives rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserves unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay in wait as he that sets snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They shine, yeah. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper in the right of the needy. They do not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? That's who loves non-judgment. Who loves the void of judgment and just wants to do all this vanity. Who wants to ignore Yahweh, who gives the rain in its due season, because all his ways are judgment. How can we begin to become a people and be void of judgment and be void of order? And this is why the New Testament is the crippling factor in which we can look to that destroys our opportunity to gather ourselves together. We must get the idols out of our minds. Even if you proclaim that you don't go by the New Testament, maybe you go by something else. Maybe you go by the Quran. Well, the Quran acknowledges the New Testament. Maybe you go by the Apocrypha, which was written by Christians. Maybe you go by the Book of Enoch, which was written by Christians. Maybe you go by the Book of Jubilee, which was written by Christians. Maybe you go by the lost books of the Bible and the forgotten books of Eden, which was written by Christians. Maybe you go by the Kibra Nagast, which was written by Christians. Maybe you go by the comedic sciences, the Neptune Neter, which is nothing but the prototype for Christians. Either way, you're dealing with something that lacks judgment. Now let me show you some judgment. For instance, the Creator told us this in the book of Psalms. Now, as a matter of fact, go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, it reads, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim." For in the month of Abib, Yahweh your Elohim brought you forth out of Egypt by night. So you have a commandment by our Creator to observe the month of Abib. Now, if you listen to the Jewish teachings, then you're going to start looking for a moon that comes after some grass grows, which is not what Yahweh told you. But if you're going to follow the New Testament, then you're essentially ignoring Yah's commandment. In the book of Colossians, second chapter, Colossians chapter 2, start reading in the 15th verse. Says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in food or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Now, why would the New Testament tell you don't let nobody judge you about food and drink or how you keep a holy day or even the new month or the Sabbath day? So newsflash to all those so-called Torah-based Israelites that believe they're still avoiding the New Testament, if you believe you don't have to keep the Sabbath day and you don't adhere to it, well, it's the New Testament that teaches that garbage. Don't let nobody judge you about the Sabbath day, the new month. It's essentially letting you know, don't let nobody tell you right or wrong in any of the judgments of the Most High. It's telling you that all those things are just a shadow of things to come, which is a bunch of lies. When Yahweh said, observe the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib you were brought forth out of the land of Egypt by night, he wasn't trying to tell you when Christ was coming. He was letting you know when to observe the great time and remember when he delivered your people. This is part of Yah's judgments. But the New Testament tells you to ignore these things. Yahweh has judgments. He has ways that you must follow. But you see, the New Testament tells you to ignore them. Even if you look in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter. Exodus 31, verse 12 reads, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death, and whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may you work, be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy unto Yahweh. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So what's Yahweh letting you know? The Sabbath is his day. It belongs to him. It was made for rest. But what does the New Testament teach you? In the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. In the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, start reading at the first verse. It states, at that time, the Christ in the New Testament went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that with him, how he entered into the house of Elohim and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? See, he responded like a rebel. He didn't respond like somebody that knew what he was talking about. He responded like a rebel. He tried to say, oh, what about when they broke the law here and when they broke the law there? Even though they really didn't break the law, even though he's just trying to mask what they doing with something that you think that they did wrong. It's not really the truth. Verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will surely have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is master even of the Sabbath day, which means he's trying to justify why they out there gathering food. You're not allowed to go out and gather food on the Sabbath day. You're not allowed to do that. You weren't allowed to go gather manna on the Sabbath day. They should have went and gathered some corn the day before that. So you're not allowed to gather food on the Sabbath day. And he tried to justify himself by saying he's greater than the temple and that he rules the Sabbath. But clearly, the Creator lets you know that the Sabbath is his. He said, my Sabbath, the Sabbath of Yahweh, not the Sabbath of the Son of Man. Because New Testament don't teach you judgment. The New Testament teaches you lies. That's not judgment. That's a lack of judgment. You can't live by that kind of statute and that kind of judgment because that will get you killed. That's not going to bring you salvation. Yet, this is what is in your book, the New Testament, that you might read often. Again, look in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And you need to ask your ministers, why is it that this book has so many lies? And you're teaching us this stuff. The church is making more money than ever. But there's no salvation. There's no judgment. There's no salvation. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse states, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. In verse 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. Now this is King Solomon's words. He was the wisest king to ever live. But you would have been taught to believe that the Christ of the New Testament was wiser than King Solomon. But let's see if he was. Because, see, what Solomon was explaining was judgment. There's a time to everything under the sun, a season to everything in a purpose. But in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, start reading on the 12th verse of Mark 11, it says, on the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. Who was hungry? They're talking about the Christ of the New Testament was hungry. Incidentally, why is he hungry? Why is he hungry? When Yahweh said in Psalm 50, and if you hold that, you look what Yahweh said. Yahweh said in Psalms 50, in verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Meaning, why would the Creator tell you he was hungry? He don't need you to get him food. He made everything. If he wanted to eat that which he made, he could do it whenever he wanted to, without your assistance or letting anyone know. But if you have been taught to believe that the Christ in the New Testament is God, then you have been lied to. Because right here in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse, it states, and on the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. Who did he tell he was hungry? And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if then he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now, why didn't he know that? Because he don't know judgment. Obviously, don't you know when fig leaves grow and figs grow off of the leaves? If you are the Creator, if you are the Son of God, if you are the firstborn, if you are the anointed, I mean, King Solomon was the son of David. He knew when the figs grew. But here, Christ of the New Testament didn't know. And then in verse 14, and the Christ of the New Testament answered and said, no man eats fruit of you hereafter and forever. And his disciples heard it. And not only did he not know when the figs grow, he got angry at the tree and cursed it. Who does that? And you're supposed to be the Most High. And you're supposed to be blessed with perfection and know everything. Obviously, somebody lied and told you a lie. This man doesn't know judgment, doesn't know time. We'll show you again that he don't know time. In the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. In the 38th verse, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, therefore, we need to see that. Where was this fulfilled? 3 days and 3 nights. Which means what? That on the rising of the sun, after the third night, the Christ in the New Testament should have came up out the ground. That's what he's basically letting you know. But did that happen? Let's see. In the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, or 28, and it reads, in the end of the Sabbath, meaning the Sabbath day was over, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And what does this mean? Why are they telling you at time? Well, when did the Christ of the New Testament die? He died on a Friday, which is why Christians celebrate Good Friday. Do you celebrate Good Tuesday or Good Monday when your family and loved ones die? No, but for whatever reason, you celebrate Good Friday, because this is apparently the day the one that you call God died, and you call it good. Well, he died on a Friday and was buried on Friday evening, meaning that even the whole day went by and he got buried in Friday evening. Then the Sabbath went by, which means you got one night that he was in the grave and one day, the Sabbath day. But as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake, and he became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear you not, for I know that you seek the Christ of the New Testament, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." Which means what? If he wasn't there, even on the dawn of Sunday morning, how many days was he buried? Only one, not three. And only someone that lacks judgment would not be able to count. Only someone that lacks judgment will tell you they'll be in the ground 3 days and three nights and only be there one day and one night and a half. Because why? It's a book that lacks judgment. And you base your faith off of this person rising from the grave, and he can't even rise from the grave on the schedule that he gave you, which means he's a liar, which means he did not tell you the truth, which means he's not coming back, because he can't even tell you the truth from the beginning. But you want to believe him. That is why in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 32, it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." Now he want to tell you about the fig tree and when the summer coming, but he ain't know nothing about it before, which lets you know what's just people out here lying and contradicting their own self. He didn't know about the fig tree. Now he wants to tell you a parable about the fig tree and how the leaves grow, how the summer's come. He don't know what he's talking about. He didn't know when the fruit was growing. "So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things are fulfilled." What generation? The generation that he was talking to? Well, they've been dead 2,000 years ago. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." But your words haven't been established, because everybody died that was with you. You died. Your generation died. "Of the day, that day and the hour, but of that day and hour knows no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." He just lets you know, nobody knows. He lets you know, not even the angels in heaven know. Well, is that true? Go to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, we'll begin reading in the fifth verse, and it reads, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not." So Daniel heard what he was saying, but he didn't understand. He said, I don't understand it. And then he said, "Then I said, oh, my master, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made right and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way to the end. You shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of days." Now, it sounds like the angels knew exactly what time. They telling you how many days, how many times. You might not understand that, but the angels knew it. They gave the time. So that means what? It means the Christ in the New Testament lied again. He said the angels don't even know. But they did, because they're the ones that told Daniel. Which means what? That the Christ in the New Testament lied. He don't know. He didn't know. That was the game. That was his slick talk. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the time. Not even the angels. Now they know. Yahweh know. And his servants know. Because Yahweh said to his servants, in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, the third verse, he said, "Seek ye Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, which have worked his judgment," which do his judgment. See, the meek, Yah's servants that seek him, they know judgment because they do Yah's judgment. But if you don't do Yah's judgment, you don't know nothing. That's why the Christ in the New Testament didn't know. Didn't know what time, didn't know what hour, didn't know when he was. He the one coming back. He don't even know when. How don't you know when you coming back? Because that's not judgment. He didn't know when he was rising out of the earth the first time, and he don't know when he coming back. And that's what you waiting for? That's what your salvation is based on? On somebody that lied to you. If somebody told you, look, in 3 hours, I'm going to be there. In 3 hours, I'm be there. And they don't get there. They don't come. And they told you, again, look, not only 3 hours am I going to be there, but I'm going to die, I'm going to come back, but I can't tell you when I'm going to come back. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. Not even the angels know. Only the Father know. But nobody knows, but there's going to be a lot of things going on when I do come back, but nobody knows when. But just know I'm coming back. But they already lied to you about coming back in the third hour. Because why? Because they lying. Because they kicking game. Because you can't live by those statutes. You can't live by those judgments. Yahweh said that he would do that. That's not order. That's not judgment. That's not perfect. That is imperfection. That is disorganized. That is chaos. And now our people are waiting for an idol to return, but don't know when they return it. But what does Yahweh want you to do? In the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, the 5th verse, says, "Thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from Yahweh. For he shall be like this destitute in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is." That's what Yah wants us to do, to trust in him and make Yahweh our hope. See, if you make Yahweh your hope, then you're making perfection your hope. Then you're making judgment your hope. Then you're making truth your hope. You're making righteousness your hope. You're making all the things that bear results. But if you make this idol your hope, then you are hoping in vanity. And our people cannot gather ourselves together if we have these idols in our hearts. The Christ of the New Testament, the entire book of the New Testament, is void of judgment, void of the word of Yah, void of the name of Yah, which means it is void of hope, which is why our people act as if they have no hope. But if you trust in Yah, and your hope is Yahweh, then you trusting in truth. Now, this is what Yahweh said in the book of Genesis. Matter of fact, go to the book of Ezra, the first chapter. Verse 1 reads, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh came by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is Elohim." Now, what is this? This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the fulfillment of the word of Yahweh. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, the 20th verse. "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him, and his sons into the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now, In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of Yahweh spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus says King Cyrus of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has Yahweh Elohim of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? Yahweh his Elohim be with him, and let him go up. Meaning what? After 70 years, which Yahweh said would happen, which Yahweh said it would be 70 years, Cyrus released the captives of Yehuda. He said, whoever's an Israelite, y'all go home. That's all, go home. Bye. You got to stay here no more. You go and build a house to Yahweh. How much better do you want it? He said, go home and build a house to Yah. Go home and restore Yah's house. Go home and restore the holy city of Yahweh. Who don't want to do that? And that was what the Creator said would happen. And Daniel, he hoped in this. Look at Daniel, the 9th chapter. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, the first verse, it reads, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, meaning he was studying, meaning he was in his books, studying, and by his studies in his meditation, he was able to understand books, the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel said, oh man, Yahweh said it's going to be 70 years. And he understood that that 70 years was nearly over. And then he said, I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession. Because why? He saw that Yahweh was about to deliver his people, and he decided to seek Yahweh, to pray to Yahweh, to humble himself to Yahweh, and to ask for confession to Yahweh for not only himself, but even all the people of Israel. Because he knew that Yahweh was coming. And Yahweh did come. And Yahweh did deliver the children of Israel from Babylon. And last scripture is in Genesis, verse 13, where it reads, and he said unto Abram, know for certain that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also, that nation which they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. And this is talking about us. How many years? 400 years. And after 400 years is nearly up. And since it's nearly up, the children of Israel and Yahweh's servants that understood, we have set our faces to seek Yahweh by supplication, by prayer, by sackcloth, by fasting, and ashes, and make our confession. Not only for ourselves, but for the nation of Israel also. Because Yahweh is coming, and we can hope in that. But you cannot hope in this book that don't tell you when they're coming. They don't know when they're coming. They don't know when they came back, and they don't know when they're coming again. They don't know if they're coming, and they don't know if they're going. And therefore, it's a book that is lacking judgment and lacking salvation. But Yahweh gave us his word, which has judgment, perfection, and truth, and the abundance of salvation. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.